us to have a word of prayer. And if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you say to the Lord, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say, Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we put important letters in an envelope, pull off the strip of paper that's on the sticky part, and seal it, right? Y'all awake out there? Y'all ever do that? Or old-fashioned envelopes, we might actually lick the sticky part and put it down, right? And we trust that this important letter will be safe and secure in the envelope as it travels many, many, many miles in that sealed envelope. Right? Y'all still with me? I know it's not real spiritual, but yet. But y'all agree with that? We trust it, that it's sealed in the envelope. Something else we do is we put meatballs and sauce. I've seen it after we've had church meals sometimes, like maybe gravy and then maybe meatballs, or maybe the meatballs and the red sauce. We put them in Ziploc bags, you know, after we're done. And we divvy it out a little bit if someone wants some of it. And we make sure that double Ziploc seal is done, or that little zipper Ziploc is done. And we put it in the back of our car. We might put it in the trunk. And we trust. I have a little problem with that. I see that. I'm like, I just don't know about this. But we trust that sauce is not going to slop out, or that gravy's not going to slop out, because it's safe and secure in that Ziploc bag because it's sealed, right? You know, oddly enough, some people trust a sealed envelope. They trust a sealed Ziploc bag, but they do not trust God to seal their salvation and their soul. Today we're going to be talking about that. We're talking about the story of Noah's Ark. We're looking at similarities to salvation. Now I realize that Larry and Connie aren't here. And I realize that there are main ameners. So does anyone volunteer to take their place today? Because they're seeing their daughter up in Pennsylvania. Who volunteers to take their place today and say, I'll be the amener today? All right, don't everybody raise their hand at once. But this morning we're going to be looking at how God does the saving and how God does the sealing, as we look at similarities between the story of Noah's Ark and salvation. Now, we've been in this series for a little while, looking at Noah's Ark as the big series, and we've been looking at similarities for several different sermons, similarities to salvation. And I want to review those briefly. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22 talks about Peter, as he writes, he relates salvation to the story of Noah and the ark. So we know that there's a picture there. So that's one reason I take a little bit of liberty and say, let's look at the story and see how it compares to salvation, because Scripture says there is a picture of salvation in the story of Noah's ark. The first point we looked at, the offer of deliverance was limited in time. With Noah's ark, and God said, you build this ark, and he built it for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he said, hey, listen, folks, the flood's coming. The flood's coming. They said, what's a flood? And he said, you know, it's going to rain. They said, well, what's rain? And he preached that, and he kept saying, get on board. You need to trust God and get on board this ark. And guess how many people joined him? absolutely none outside of his family. He had his three sons and their wives and his wife. But that offer of deliverance was limited in time. Do you realize that the offer of salvation is limited in time? You know, your life is disappearing like a vapor. My life, I can't believe how fast time is going. I mean, sometimes it makes my head spin. It seems like time is just zip, zip, zip. I mean, we're here near the end of summer already. It's like, what happened to summer? Would y'all agree with that? Hey, some of you need a smile test, okay? Some of you need to smile at the preacher. Okay, that's pretty good. But time is zipping by fast. In Noah's day, it was a limited time offer. Salvation is a limited time offer. The Lord could come back at any moment. Your life could end at any moment. And I do believe that there's cases where people have said no to God so many times that they can no. I've heard of stories where people say, you know, I want to be saved, but I can't be saved. I just don't feel the conviction of the Spirit. They said no to God so many times, and I don't know when that is, and I'm definitely not going to tell you when that is because I don't know, I'm not God. But I believe it is possible for people to turn down God so many times that the volume is so low. I really believe when God offers salvation the first time, he's like shouting, hey, you got to be saved. And then the next time when you say no, it says, hey, you got to be saved. And it keeps getting lower and lower. And eventually I'm afraid that it's so low that you can't hardly hear it anymore. You can't feel the conviction. But wouldn't that be a horrible place to be? But in the time of Noah, it was a limited time offer. Salvation is a limited time offer. I would encourage you to make sure you're saved. Second similarity, both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves coming to the Lord. Coming to the Lord. It says that they came unto the Lord in the ark. You know, it's kind of funny when he talked to Noah, it wouldn't say, go get in the ark, come. You know, like, come to me. That's the way it was translated. Come to me. Now, it could be translated different, but I don't think it's by accident that that's the word that was used to translate it. Come. And when you come to Jesus in salvation, you know, you're basically saying, Lord, you're it. You're my Savior. You're the one I'm going to follow. You're coming to Jesus. The third similarity we've already looked at was both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves a choice. You know, sometimes I wish I could make people be saved. Really. I wish I could make people become a Christian. I mean, like, really, I'd resort to all kinds of methods to make people do it. But you cannot do it. It has to be a decision of your heart, your soul, your mind, and say, I'm going to trust Jesus. And you know what? Those people that got on the ark, it's a choice, right? For Noah, it was a choice, right? He chose to obey God and to trust God. For his sons and their wife, they trusted. They chose to get on the ark. Those who outside the ark chose not to. You see, the ark involved choice. Salvation involves choice. Number four similarity that we looked at, both deliverance from the flood and deliverance from sin and hell are because of grace. Because of God's grace. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? Can I tell you, I'm glad that Steve DeLay, I'll be official here, Stephen Robert DeLay, I'm glad that Stephen Robert DeLay found grace in Jesus. Aren't you? That you found grace in salvation? Deliverance in salvation also involves grace. Number five similarity, Noah was declared righteous and a Christian is declared righteous. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord talking to Noah, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And do you know, when we trust the Lord Jesus, we are declared righteous. The word is justified. It means to be declared righteous, and we're declared righteous because of God's righteousness. Number six, those who refused to believe God and enter into the ark were totally destroyed. Those who refuse Jesus will be totally destroyed forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I mean, that, I wouldn't wish that on my worst. If I had an enemy, I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. Or some of these people you see on television that are opposed to everything Christian, I don't even wish hell on them. You see, hell is total destruction forever and ever and ever. Number seven similarity. Noah and his family found life and safety, and the Christian has found life and safety now and in the future. Are you looking forward to heaven? I think I'm going to have to jump a pew or something and get someone to get you riled up. You're awfully quiet. I need Ryan up here. Ryan's a loud amen. Jason, you're going to have to turn your volume up a little bit back there. Okay, your amen volume is what I'm speaking of. Noah and his family found life and safety. The Christian has found life and safety because they know Jesus. We have life and safety now. You know, you're not looking forward to eternal life. You have eternal life right now. Really, you're not going to die. You're going to fall asleep. And the older I get, the idea of falling asleep sounds pretty good to me. It obviously sounds pretty good to some of y'all right now, too. When you fall asleep, it's just going to, in the presence of Jesus. That's all it is. I'm thankful that I have safety to look forward to forever. I'm going to be in the presence of God, and I have eternal life right now. And the last similarity that we've already preached, we're going to look at one more today. Number eight similarity, Noah and his sons were told to be fruitful and multiply, and we as Christians are told to be fruitful and multiply in the spiritual sense. We're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. You know, that's one of the problems with Christianity. We can look around at our churches and say, look, our churches aren't full. Well, are you multiplying the gospel? If you don't share the gospel, how are they going to hear it? So we need to be fruitful and multiply, just like God commanded Noah and his sons when they got off the ark. Today, it's similarity number nine. It's the one we'll be talking about today. In both cases, God closes the door. In the story of Noah and the ark, guess what? God closed the door. In salvation, guess what? God closes the door. Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to read some verses here. Genesis chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read this to you to refresh your memory, and you'll see that key verse that we're going to talk about today at the end of this passage, all right? Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Now listen to this word, this phrase. and the Lord shut him in. Would you repeat that with me? And the Lord shut him in. You see, in the story here of Noah and the ark, and again, by using the word story, it's not make-believe. It's true. It's a true account of what really happened. But in this case, guess what? God closed the door. Can you kind of imagine yourself in this huge monstrosity of an ark? Can you picture you in there with your wife and your sons and their wives and all of these animals and all of this food and all of this stuff going on? And God closes the door. Can you imagine how that door might have sounded? Now, I know it's not described, and your idea of what might have happened may be a little different because we're not put it. But sometimes we gotta think about things a little bit. If otherwise, we just read it and say, oh, black and white, ho-hum, God closed the door. But I can imagine them in there, can't you? And they're probably a little bit apprehensive. Now, they've trusted God. They believe God. They're on the ark. They've built for 120 years. Noah has preached salvation for 120 years. And finally, it comes time to get in the ark with all of the animals. And God closes the door. I don't know about you. I think it was a big bang of a door closing. Now, don't get me confused. Preach, what did the preacher preach on today? The Big Bang. No, I'm just talking about when the door closed, I think it was like a whammy of a door slam. You know, sometimes people, when they get mad, yeah, now no one in this church would do this, I'm sure. But when you get upset with your husband or your wife, and you get a little bit huffy about it, sometimes you go to your room or go somewhere in the house, and you what? Slam the door. Well, I think this was a whale of a door slamming. I think it just thumped closed, and God meant it when he closed it. And on either side of that door, you either had life or you had death. But God closed the door. But you know what? I think it gave encouragement to Noah and his family that God closed the door. I mean, have you ever wondered if Junior closed the door or not at night when it's about right time to go to bed? Now, Junior, did you close that door? You're a little bit antsy about that, right? Because, Junior, humans can fail. I mean, Noah could have tried to close the door, but, you know, he's a human. He could have failed. He could have fastened it the wrong way. But when God closes the door, the all-powerful God of the universe, when God closes the door, he closes the door. You know what I mean? And that door was not going to open. Now, they knew that they were in for a ride, right? I would want to know that big opening called a door in the side of the ark that had three stories, I would like to know that God closed that door and it was sealed. Wouldn't you? And again, that door was not going to open until God said, you can open, door. It was a slamming door, but God closed that door. And again, that was encouraging to Noah and the family. But do you think anyone outside the ark might have heard that door slam? I don't know. I really don't. But it's possible. For those folks, it was a sad sound. It was a tragic sound. And if there was any doubt in their mind at all, they never trusted God, that's for sure. Didn't trust God in what he was going to do. But boy, if there was just a little question mark at all when they heard that door slam, wow. You think, whoa, there's something to this. But it was too late. It was too late. Do you know, there's going to come a time, kind of related to one of the other points we talked about. We're going to branch off and not talk about this long. But, you know, salvation is a limited time offer. There's going to come a time when that door closes. And God's going to call his children home. You know, you think about on these Sunday mornings when we have invitations. I know not a whole lot of people respond in the average church today. Not a whole lot of people come forward and get saved. It's hard to get the lost to come to church. But you know, some Sunday morning, and I think it's just right around the corner, that last soul is going to walk that aisle. That last soul is going to walk that aisle. Come down front and maybe say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And that preacher's going to pray with that soul, and that soul's going to get right with God, and God is going to say, "Enough. Son, go get your church." You see, that door is going to close. That door is going to close. But you know what? I think something that it means for you and I today, beyond that we need to be ready and make sure that we know the Lord Jesus, because that door will close. But I think for us today in salvation, you know what? Do you realize who does the saving? God does the saving. You know, you can go home and you can get the most expensive soap there is and the most expensive shampoo. And you go home and you can wash your hair and wash your body and think you're clean. But guess what? You're still not clean in salvation until God saves you. You can try to clean up your act and say, "I'm going to do this right, and I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to..." But you know what? The only one that can save you is God Himself. You see, He closes that door. God does the saving. You realize that that's not a popular topic of conversation? That there's only one way to get saved? There's only one way to get to heaven? You know, John chapter 14, I'm sure I've even referenced it in this passage, but do you know what Jesus said, or in this sermon series? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Do you know what it says? You probably do now because it's on the monitor, right? Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, the only way you can be saved is through God and through Jesus in particular and what He did upon the cross. That's it. That's it. And let me tell you, there's a whole lot of churches that are teaching you can work your way to heaven. Whole lot. I say a whole lot more than you got preaching the truth. And they're preaching, "Yeah, you can do this, and you got to be good to your neighbor, and you got to love everybody, and you got to make sure that on and on and on, so you can accumulate all these works and get to heaven." Jesus is the only way. And a lot of people, they want to have it both ways. You say, "Well, what do you think about Jesus?" "Oh, He's a good guy." Well, if Jesus is such a good guy in their opinion, these are the words of Jesus. "He's not a good guy, He's a liar. If you don't believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, Jesus lied." But He didn't. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, He's the door to salvation. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that I know the way. I don't have to him haul around and say, "Well, I wonder if I'm saved. I just don't know." Can I tell you, there's certain days I don't feel saved. But I'm not saved by feelings. I'm saved because I've trusted Jesus. The only way to get to the Father is Jesus. You know, I hear Christians sometimes saying some really ridiculous things. Can I say some dumb things? If you've said this to me and I offend you, I apologize. But I've heard people say, we're talking about, usually it's dealing with kids in your family. You know, like, and we get on subject, and, "Well, do they go to church somewhere?" "Oh, yeah, they go to XYZ, really whacked out church over there, but I'm just glad they're in church." I'm like, "Really? I don't want them in way whacked out church. I want them in a Bible-believing and preaching church, don't you?" I mean, we kind of pretend like it doesn't matter. It matters what church you go to. It matters if you believe you're saved by grace through faith or by works. That's a crucial issue. Y'all agree with that? All right. If you're not going to get excited, I'm going to get excited for you. But Jesus does the saving. John 14, 6. Luke 19, 10 says, "God the Son, Jesus, God," let me just read the verse, "Jesus saith unto him," that's not it, John chapter 19. It's not working. All right. It fell asleep too. The computer even fell asleep. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus says, here it is. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and to save. You see, the only way that we can be saved is through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Very familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to make sure I quote it right. I could quote it, but I might miss a word. Let me quote it to you. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, the monitors are very handy. We can cover a whole lot more ground whenever the monitor pops it up, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of who? God. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto God, good works, that is, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God does the saving through Jesus. Secondly, and this is where I want to park for just a little bit, God does the sealing also. Not only is Jesus the door, and there's a passage of Scripture that talks about that, but he is the way to be saved. But you know, God also does the sealing. God does the saving. God does the sealing. The sealing. So what are you talking about, preacher? Do you realize, and this is great news, if you're a child of God today, this ought to almost make you say amen at the top of your lungs. Almost. Because what this is talking about, once you are truly born again, you are sealed forever. You know, these folks that believe you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost, it's a life of bondage. But that's not what the Bible says. Just like God closed the door on the ark, you know what? When you were saved, God sealed you. He did. If you don't believe me, let's look at the Bible. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. All right. You can see how fast the preacher is at sword drills today, right? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Notice what it says. It says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So we're saved through God, right? Through what he did specifically with Jesus, his son. Notice what it says in verse 22. Who hath also, what's that word? Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And that word, you've heard the term earnest money, right? It's like money you put down, like a down payment that assures that you're going to buy it, right? Now here it is. If you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, how in the world can you lose your salvation? It says we are sealed. That word sealed means to stamp with a signet ring or some private mark for security and preservation. I am thankful that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Just like the ark was sealed by God, when you're a child of God, God seals you. He says something very similar. You can look it up. I'm not going to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. It says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. Can you just picture this for a moment? If you have any shades of this, well, I'm really not sure if you can lose it or not. If you have any shades of that, I want you to listen to how ridiculous this sounds. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you, right? Can you imagine? And some folks go as far to say, every time I sin, I lose my salvation. Now that's really, there's different degrees of believing you can lose your salvation. I don't believe there's any way you can lose your salvation once you are truly saved. Can you imagine if you believed you could lose your salvation with every sin Oh, Holy Spirit there. Oh, I just thought a bad thought. Holy Spirit leaves. Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit comes back. Oh, I let that word slip. Oh, Holy Spirit leaves. Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit comes back. I mean, that's ridiculous. You are contradicting Scripture if you think the Holy Spirit comes and goes like that, and salvation comes and goes. The Holy Spirit is that earnest money, that guarantee that you are saved. Even on days you wake up and you don't feel good, you may say, I have more aches in my body than I thought possible. I just have a bad attitude today. I just don't feel good. Emotionally, I'm distraught and on and on and on, and I don't feel saved. If you've truly trusted Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You're still saved. I'm glad that it does not depend upon me whether I'm saved or not. I've known people that believe this. It's bondage, folks. Throw it out the window as false doctrine, because that's what it is. Once you are truly saved, you are sealed. Just like that door closing on the ark. You are sealed. God closes the door. You know, I want to bring this thought up to you. How many of you believe, don't raise your hand, but how many of you believe you're saved by works? You say, no, preacher, you're not saved by works. So how can you be lost by not doing works or doing bad things? If you're not saved by works in the first place, how can works or undoing works or doing bad works make you lost? We're saved by grace through faith. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And guess what else? We're going to look at another passage of Scripture. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 28 and 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. You know, there are some passages of Scripture that may seem a little troubling in certain areas of certain doctrine, but I'll tell you right straight up, I have no problem defending eternal security because it is a biblical concept. It is right there in black and white. You cannot read these verses. Even if you were home and not paying a whole lot of attention, when you read these verses, if you said, get right down to what it says, you'd have to come to the conclusion that once you are saved forever. And some people say, but I've seen this one, and they said they were saved, and they went out and did. You said it really clearly. They said that they were saved. Maybe they weren't saved in the first place. And can I tell you that you do not build your doctrine on other people's experience? You build your doctrine on the Word of God, and the Word of God says you are sealed once you are truly saved. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. Listen, it says, words of red in Jesus' very words, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, this is Jesus talking, right? This is Jesus talking. Now, let me see. I never carry any change anymore, but I have a battery here. I'm going to illustrate this. Are you ready for this? This is going to be very profound. Jesus says, you're in my hand. Words are red. Jesus, right? In Jesus' hand. What about the rest of the verse? It says, and I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I remember a preacher in Chattanooga that I was under. He would illustrate it, and he had money. He'd put a quarter in his hand and say, guess what? You're in Jesus' hand, and Jesus is in God's hand, and there's no way that anything's going to pluck you out of my hand. Man, how clear can you get? How clear can you get? I know some people, they say, well, it says no man, but I can pluck myself. Are you tougher than God? Are you stronger than God? Are you more powerful than God? The answer is obviously no. So once you are truly saved, notice my words, truly saved, truly born again, truly become a Christian, guess what? You are sealed, just like God closing the door on the ark. Once you've experienced salvation, you are sealed. I'm thankful that salvation comes from God, and I'm thankful that my sealing comes from God too. I am sealed by the God of the universe. Now, some might say, you know the people that are backslidden? I mean, truly saved, but aren't serving God. Now, it would be very easy to not feel saved because you're away from God, right? And they feel like maybe I've lost myself. If you were truly saved, truly. I mean, can you imagine? You know, the Bible talks about we're adopted into the family of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Okay, you're my son. Oh, you're not my son. You're my son. Oh, you're not my son. You're my son. That's ridiculous. Once you are truly saved, you are sealed. And again, this ought to make your heart, if you're a child of God, it ought to make you say, praise the Lord. Because I'm a sinner, I still sin against God. I still do things I shouldn't do. And I'm still a work in progress. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. But guess what? If you truly meant it when you trusted Jesus, prayed and asked Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior, you are sealed by God with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You say, all right, preacher, where do we go with that? I'm glad that in both cases, God closes the door. Aren't you? You know, we might want to feel safe at home sometimes, so we lock our door. Now, sometimes that used not to be the case, but you lock your door now, and usually, probably most people, I took a survey, yeah, I've got at least two locks, and some people say, I know, I got like three or four locks on my door, just so you can feel safe and secure in your house, right? I'm thankful that I have a God that is very well capable of keeping me safe and secure in His arms as a child of God. The study of Noah's Ark and how it's similar to salvation, in both cases, God closes the door. God closed the door on the ark, and I think that gave Noah and his family encouragement because God did the closing. But when you're a true child of God, God today, in this age of grace, does the saving and He also does the sealing. He closes the door and says, you are my property. You belong to me. So saved, if you're here today, you probably trust an envelope and a Ziploc bag to seal the contents. I hope you trust God to seal your soul. Really, I hope you trust God to seal your soul. And I hope if you're here and you say, well, I do, I hope that in your heart you're saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that I know that I'm saved. You're here today and you're lost. Can I tell you that according to the Bible, your we call it a window of opportunity. Let's call it a door of opportunity. Can I tell you that just like in Noah's day, your door of opportunity to be saved is limited? That door is closing. By every breath you take and every minute you take in, guess what? That door is closing. Man, I'm telling you, if I was sitting in your place today, and I'm not sure if anybody here doesn't know Jesus, I don't know, but if I was sitting in the seat and I didn't know Jesus and I just heard what the preacher said about that door closing, that paints a picture in my mind. You could not keep me in my seat when we give an invitation here in a moment. You could not tie me down. I'd say, preacher, I want to know I'm saved before the door closes. Hopefully, you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. You know, you need to do something. You need to be saved. You need to do something. Your heart might be beating a little bit fast. You might be a little bit nervous. Your palms might be a little bit sweaty. That could be the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? You need to be saved. You need to be saved. There could be Christians here today. You just don't see this much anymore. But you may see, you may be a Christian who says, you know what, I'm backslidden. I'm not serving the Lord the way I should. I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to tell God about it, ask Him to forgive me and restore that fellowship. I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'm not serving the way I should, and I'm going to get right with God. If that's you, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? God has ways to get our attention. God has ways to get our attention. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, true account of Noah's Ark. We pray that we've rightly divided the word of truth as we've looked at similarities to salvation. Lord, just like you closed the door on Noah and his family, Lord, you close the door in salvation. Lord, you seal us. Once we're saved through you, and Lord, we're sealed through you with your Holy Spirit. Lord, as a child of God, I thank you for that. And I pray that every child of God here may thank you for that in their heart. But Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'll realize that door of opportunity is closing. And Lord, that last soul might be saved at some church down the road or some other state, could be in our church, and then they're left out. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do whatever you ask us to do. Obey what you're telling us to do. And if there's anyone that's lost, give them the boldness to step out, come down and say to me, I want to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray.